Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, fellow gamers. Welcome to the Video Gamers Podcast. We are three lifelong gamer dads, and on Thursdays like today, we cover the most important gaming news over the last week. You can find us on socials at Video Gamers Pod, and we would love it if you would rate our show 5 stars. I am your host, Paul, and joining me, he is running around spreading democracy in the universe and offering all his enemies a cup of liberty. It's Ryan.
Take that. Take that.
Oh, goodness. I can't wait to talk about Helldivers. And joining Ryan and me this week, he said that Skull and Bones is a quadruple A title worth the $70 price tag. It's Josh. Is that 1A for every 3 years of development, Josh?
Oh, man, more like every, yeah. Yeah, what you said, every 3 years of development?
Every 3 years.
Okay, yeah, that's about right.
All right, don't worry. We're not going to actually cover any Skull and Bones news again today. We just had to do a quick drive-by because that comment coming out of Ubisoft was just way too funny. All right, we have to start out this show by talking about the release of Helldivers 2. Oh. Now, we have been so hyped for this game. We have been talking about almost nothing but for the last couple weeks. I believe all three of us said it was our number one most anticipated game of the year. It's here. We've been cracking out on it. We are going to be releasing a deep dive on Monday, so we're not going to get into too many details, but I thought we could focus a little bit more on the actual news of the release itself and some of the reviews that people have been leaving it. Now, all three of us had shared an article that we all read, and it's from Video Games Chronicle, and I just want to read the headline. Helldivers 2 gets mixed reviews on Steam due to crashes, pay-to-win, and anti-cheat DRM. The article also mentions that on the day of release, the game had a 52% positive Steam rating. So let's kind of break this down. I wanted to ask you guys first about technical issues. Are you guys getting crashes and issues from the technical standpoint?
I have gotten a few, yes. The last 2 days, so most of Sunday, there were some pretty significant server issues where people were having a hard time logging in.
We
realized if you just keep smashing retry that after 20 or 30 clicks, it'll let you in. Yeah, and then once you were in, the game was played pretty okay. There was a couple times when like a menu wouldn't load or something like that. But if you could just get into the gameplay itself, it generally ran pretty fine. I think I've had 3 crashes.
I've had about 4.
Yeah, oh, wow. I was going to say, they haven't been super prolific, but I mean, I have had a few. Ask me if any of that matters.
Josh, does that matter?
Absolutely not.
Democracy will be spread,
yes,
no matter
liberty,
what.
Liberty must be spread throughout the galaxy.
By force. Oh, I love that this game has a little bit of that Broforce DNA,
yeah,
with the humor. I love nothing more than when a character gets to get on a turret and just starts screaming while shooting all the robots or all the bugs. Oh, it's so great. Yeah, the game has technical issues. I mean, I don't think any of us are going to say otherwise. I've had a few crashes straight to desktop. Matchmaking continues to be an issue. You can hit quick join. It'll say it's joining, and it'll say failed to join lobby. You got to do it 14 times in a row, and if you're lucky, it'll finally connect. And then hopefully you don't have any people griefing on the team. What about the accusations of the game being pay to win? Because I was shocked when I saw that, because I would say categorically this game is not pay to win, but some people have levied that against the game.
Yeah, I can see where people are coming from, but I know people also get real antsy when they see those battle passes and see those types of things where they not only come with cosmetics, but they come with weapons. So I do know one of our friends, Andy, was on, and me and another guy were playing, and he's like, hey, is this that gun that you unlocked with your battle pass or whatever? And he's like, yeah. And we're like, this thing's freaking sweet, man. He's like, this thing is awesome. So I can understand where some people are coming from, but I don't see it. I mean, you can still unlock all that stuff by playing the game. So
yep.
Just might take a little bit more work is all. But who doesn't want to dispense liberty throughout, you know, the galaxy?
Yeah, I understand why people are commenting about a pay to win, because if you are getting weapons that are stronger than your friends who didn't buy the premium edition, that seems a little off on like the scales of balance. But listen, I mean, people like to complain about really stupid things sometimes. And I think people just like to run with a certain narrative. And I just don't get it. Like I can understand the thought process, but if you have played Helldivers and you understand what the game is and the fun that is had in that game, you are probably amongst the 99.8% of people that just go, I don't care. This game is fun. I'm having a great time with my friends, and I don't care that somebody has a gun that's slightly better than me. If they paid for it, fine. You can argue the nuance of pay to win and you know, stronger weapons and things like that, but it just doesn't matter at that point.
And the thing too is it's not like it's PvP where we're competing against each other.
Exactly.
We're PvE, we're all just shooting monsters or robots, you know, so it helps you. Like, why would you be upset?
It's cooperative gameplay. The better your squad mates are, the better you are going to do and the more fun you are going to have. So again, stop it with the nitpicking of tiny little things in games. We saw this with Starfield when some random person discovered that if you run for 15 minutes straight, you'll hit an invisible wall. Nobody's doing that. There's not right. pay to win in Helldivers 2. This is not ruining the game for anybody. It's a non-issue. It's just, it kind of bugs me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Again, it's one of those things where I get the concept, but in reality, it doesn't matter to the game itself.
Well, and quite honestly, a lot of people's favorite weapons don't even come from the premium battle pass.
Yeah.
And even if you do, it's not pay to win. You still have to grind out your medals to unlock it. It's just a little bit of a shortcut. It just makes it quicker. But you can give those weapons to anybody. It doesn't mean you're automatically going to start beating all the levels on hard. I mean, you can give really terrible players the best weapon, the quote, best weapons. If you're still dropping Eagle Strikes and not calling them out, you're going to fail anyway. So it's not even pay to win. So I don't like them even using that phrase. In regards to the anti-cheat, I mean, look, people get all up in arms. My biggest issue with anti-cheat is when companies are not forthcoming about it. When they add de novo 4 hours before release, that's what I take issue with, because it seems like a cover-up. But anti-cheat itself is just needed in games.
Oh, yeah.
And people have a lot of heartburn over the fact that Helldivers 2 uses NProtect GameGuard because it has kernel-level access to your games. Well, I actually did a little bit of a deep dive into the history of anti-cheat software. Long story short, the whole reason this exists is that cheaters started using cheats that appeared as device drivers. And so anti-cheat software couldn't touch it. It was almost like cheats were on God mode, because you can't touch the drivers. So the anti-cheat people said, well, either we just have cheaters everywhere, or we have to launch anti-cheat as device drivers so we're on an equal battleground. So look, is it a perfect system? Do I like giving access, you know, from the kernel level to anti-cheat? No. I think it's better than games being ruined. I think cheating is the worst thing you can introduce to a game. So I don't know. All in all, I kind of feel like that stuff doesn't really matter. And by the way, the positive rating now on Steam has climbed to 76%. I think it's only going to keep going up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone we know has enjoyed the game, right?
Yeah.
I have not heard a single detractor, to be honest with you, on this game at all. Like, I mean, that's pretty crazy. Like, I mean, usually there's the people that go, this game sucks. I tried it. I don't see what everybody's raving about. I've not seen that anywhere. I mean, you know, surely this game is not for everybody. I tried to convince my daughter, you know, I was like, come look at this game. It's so much fun. And she was like, yeah, that's not my kind of game, Dad. And I just went, where have I failed? You know?
Is this the daughter who only plays Ark? Yes, are there just not enough dinosaurs?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so I get it. It's not for everybody. But for those that have tried it and played it, the appeal seems to be pretty universal.
Yeah, the Discord server's just been bumping. It's nonstop. Who's playing? Is anyone on? And I just keep seeing people in the voice chat. Everyone keeps hopping on and asking who's coming, when they're playing. It's been super active, at least for everybody I know.
We've just been waiting so long for a fun shooter to play together. Oh, I'm just so glad it's here. All right, before we hit our next story, we do want to let our listeners know about how you can support us through Patreon. If you like what we do and want to be a part of keeping our show afloat, you get bonus episodes, you get a shout out on the show. If that sounds interesting to you, please consider signing up, even if it's just a month or two on Patreon. Starts at just $5 a month. It's well worth your time and money. You can check it out at multiplayersquad.com. All right, next story of the week. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I mean, this game is a big deal, and it's coming out in just a couple weeks. It won Most Anticipated Game at the Game Awards, and they have a live demo that can be played on PS5. Josh, of course, famously, you do not have one.
Wah, wah.
You were not able to check it out. Ryan and I did both play. I know that neither Ryan nor I consider ourselves to be Final Fantasy fanboys. Ryan even let out a little bit of a sigh when I said, can you go check out this demo? So I'm very curious to hear your thoughts, Ryan. What did you think about the Rebirth demo?
I thought the world was beautiful. And
it's gorgeous.
It was just gorgeous. And then it was a Final Fantasy game. that's about it. No, I thought it was good. I just like, you know, Josh said with his daughter, I'm just not a Final Fantasy guy. I'm sure it's going to get all the accolades in the world. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm sure we'll probably have to deep dive it for all you great listeners out there. But it's just, from what I played, it was really good. And I did enjoy the characters. I enjoyed kind of some of the world. Again, it was beautiful. It's just not my type of game.
So the funny thing is, I was much higher on Final Fantasy 16 than either of you. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
This game looks just as good, if not a little bit better. The music is fantastic. I will say it was a lot of fun because I never liked Final Fantasy when it was more turn-based, but I do remember having fun playing 7 back in the day and swapping out materia and experimenting with all that. You have that in spades right from the get-go. They're throwing materia at you left and right. You can immediately start tinkering. Like, do I want to add another ability, or do I want to use this materia that makes the materias next to it more powerful? And you start, you know, swapping stuff in and out. I will say, I wasn't crazy about the flashbacks with Tifa in the very skimpy cowboy outfit. Yeah. I don't know how you felt, Ryan. As a 39-year-old, it felt a little creepy.
Yeah. They always try to. I was telling my wife, I'm like, yeah, that's Tifa. That's a big-time cosplay girl that a lot of people cosplay. She's like, why? I'm like, well, look what she's wearing. So, yeah, I saw it too. And, the flashbacks were not my favorite part of the demo.
Well, literally the whole demo is flashbacks of Cloud talking about Sephiroth and kind of how he goes bad. Josh, hilariously, you played the Final Fantasy VII remake and Ryan and I did not. And here we're playing the demo of part two, which you didn't play. Do you want to offer any thoughts on the remake, or do you have any questions for us?
So we were chatting a little bit about this before we started recording. I really enjoyed Final Fantasy VII remake. Now, did both of you play the original Final Fantasy VII?
I played a little bit of it, but I was never big on turn-based games, so I never really played much.
PlayStation 1 days.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, for me, Final Fantasy VII back in the day was one of the greatest games ever made. I mean, it still ranks up there in a lot of people's lists. It's a little strange for me because of my fond memories of that game, I was a little hesitant to even want to play the remake because it was like, nothing's going to touch this. This is just going to be a disappointment to me. And I will say that I thoroughly enjoyed the remake. And then I just kind of forgot about Rebirth coming out. And then even when it was announced, I just didn't get excited because I was like, well, I don't have a PlayStation. I'm probably not going to wind up playing this. I already know the story and the game. And again, I think it's that same, like, I don't want to compare it to the Final Fantasy VII of old, because that's not really a fair thing to compare. You know what I mean? And so I have not been hyped for it, but that has nothing to do about the game itself. It's my own weird, like, I don't want to compare this to one of my favorite games of all times in my memory. But then more news has started coming out, you know, and it's like there's been more videos and there's been the hype trains getting rolling. And then I just went, dude, Final Fantasy VII Remake was great. Like, I had a ton of fun playing that. And it seems like Rebirth is going to be a huge step forward. And that is like, how I can't ignore it anymore, man. And then when Paul was like, guys, we're probably going to have to deep dive this. It was like the switch just flipped in my brain and I went, wait, am I going to get to play it? You know, and it's like, I just instantly, then it's like, oh man, I don't need another game to get all excited about.
It's been a wild year already. Yeah, I can't believe how good 2024 has been. The combat and the cutscenes are so cinematic. It looks so good. And I don't know if this was in the remake or not, but they have all these abilities that are like synergized abilities with two characters, or like these limit abilities that are like these ultimates that are just so fun to do. I will say that weirdly, the biggest criticism I've seen of the game are the outlines of the ledges that you climb. Like, you know how those were all really yellow,
yeah,
Ryan?
Yeah, yeah.
People are like kind of up in arms about that. Really? People hated that in Resident Evil 4, because you know how you could bust open the boxes like with your knife and it might have like a green herb or whatever?
Uh-huh.
In the remake, they put that like yellow stripe on it so you know it's breakable.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't like that. And so a lot of people complained about that here. And I saw a funny quote where people said, gamers want to be handled, but they don't want to know that they're being handled. Yep. And I thought that was funny. So some people felt like it's tweaked a little too high to make it obvious where to climb. I will say, ironically, I didn't care about the yellow stripes, but the climbing is very slow.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be more like Assassin's Creed. Let me like pull myself and leap between the jump ledges. Really, that's my only... Well, I guess my other complaint is... Ryan, what was the deal with the Mako vacuums? Where you couldn't activate an elevator until you vacuumed the Mako gas?
Yeah, I don't...
I didn't understand that at all.
I don't get it. Yeah, it's yeah, those things. And into the climbing stuff, too, is like, you know, on like God of War, you have the, like the little glyphs up on the walls and stuff. So you're like, but the second you walk to an area, you're like, wait, where do I go? Where are they at? You know? And then you start to freak out. So, like they don't want to know. You got to walk that fine line of how, you know, how to guide everybody.
It was remember Evil West? And that was one of my complaints, is like the white, the just glowing, glimmering chains. And I was like, guys, I am not blind. I can see that. I do like how God of War did it. Like the yellow paint on a ledge is another good one where it's subtle, but it's there. That I think is a very good compromise in that regard. So how is combat? I didn't get to play the demo, but I feel like combat is enhanced because now you have the combo skills that you can do with the two characters, which looks really cool. And it's different for each combo of characters, which I thought was really neat. And I like that it's kind of live action combat, but where you can pause. It's like a hybrid system almost. How did you guys feel about that? Like, what did it feel good? Was it, what are your thoughts on that?
Almost identical to Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a little hack and slash. If we do end up deep diving it, I'm going to pump up the difficulty immediately because I didn't even come close to dying once in this demo.
Yeah.
Agreed. But I still highly recommend people checking it out. I think it's just, I'd rather a game be too easy and let me bump up the difficulty than starting out too hard. So that's the only thing I would say.
You mean you don't want to fight a boss 30 or 40 times?
Yeah, you guys are weird, man.
Preferably not. Then again, I didn't like one-shotting everything in this game either. But it it was a lot of fun. I think I might be becoming a Final Fantasy fan, which I did not see coming.
Well, I will say this. I mean, if there was ever a Final Fantasy that has the DNA to make a fan out of somebody, it's Final Fantasy VII. So I think the idea of making Ryan play this and then seeing what his thoughts are kind of excites me, because it's like, if you don't like this one, you're just, like you said, and that's okay, you know, like to just say, hey, I get that it's a great game. It's just not my kind of game. And that's totally understandable. But I am very curious to see if it can like win him over.
It was weird as someone who didn't play. I played a little bit because everybody had that game when, you know, I was a kid. But even though I really didn't put a lot of time into it, it was still nostalgic to see like Cloud and Sephiroth and you see the big sword and Tifa and stuff. So it was weird. It was oddly nostalgic for someone who didn't even play the game because they're so iconic. Those characters are just everywhere, you know, and like I said, they still get cosplay today, and they're obviously remaking the game all these years later. So
yeah, it's got the pedigree. I think the game's gonna be a huge hit. I think it's gonna be a game of the year nominee, and I'm basing that on a very short 90-minute demo. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back and share some of our thoughts on the Steam Next Fest.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys. Steam Next Fest is back. I know that we are big fans of this. They do these, I believe, 3 times a year. If anyone doesn't know what Next Fest is, it's where you can hop on PC and Steam gives you access to hundreds of demos for all these upcoming games. Devs get to break down upcoming games. You get to watch them play. You can test it out yourself. And it's probably best if we start out with Pacific Drive, because that is a game that we have really hyped in the past. I know all three of us got a chance to try it out. I will say I was almost a little underwhelmed only because I had already watched video footage of everything you get to play in the demo, but it did still make me laugh because the first time I got out of my car, it started rolling downhill because I didn't put it in park.
Yeah.
But I had a total blast playing it anyway, even though I already knew what was coming up. What did you guys think about Pacific Drive?
When I did that when I first went into the repair shop, and then it popped up and it was like, kick. I was like, oh, I can kick. I kicked the bumper and my car just rolled all the way out of there. And I was like, oh no. But
I love it.
I loved just the vibe of the game. It felt almost like a early 2000s, like Half-Life 2 style kind of graphics look to it. And then just the way the atmosphere, the environment, the guys yelling at you over the radio, and I'm really excited to mess around with it and play it some more. It was all the different features, the upgrades you can do to your vehicle, it was really neat, and it was more than I actually expected.
That was kind of my takeaway, was there's more to this game than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah.
Some of the inventory systems and the crafting systems and like the car upgrades and the stuff like that, I was like, dude, this is kind of in depth, man. And then you get into like, you're in your garage and then you can make like these attachments for your car, but you have to go into a special crafting room. And there was kind of system upon system upon system. And I went, this is not what I expected. I love the driving around on the roads and you're just in this empty world and there's these weird things going on. There's rocks floating in the air and, you know, there's some weird alien robot thing that's flying around. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I don't want to go near that thing. Cause it was called what was it called? Not an abductor, but a reclaimer, or I can't remember the name, but it was obviously bad. It was like, okay, well, I don't want that thing to get near me.
It was patrolling the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like the, you know, I like the idea that you're getting in and out of your car a lot. I thought it was hilarious. At one point I got in my car in a hurry. And then it wouldn't move. And I was like, what is going on? And then I realized you have to manually turn the key. Yeah, and then I was like, okay, this is cool, because in a panic, which is going to happen, you have to remember to like get in, close the door, turn the key, put it in drive. Like at one point it started raining and I couldn't see. And it's like, hit your windshield wipers, and the wipers go and it like clears your windshield for a second. depending on how heavy it's raining. And I was like, dude, these are all super neat touches. I am very excited to see where this game goes. They didn't give you a ton of the supernatural elements. I think this was more to kind of show off, you know, storage and the upgrades that you can make to your car and how you repair your car and the preparations you have to make, like with like bringing a spare tire and extra gas and things like that. So I think it was focusing a little bit more on like the survival elements. Mm-hmm. So if they really expand the supernatural part and the story portion of it, I think this could be a legitimately really good game. I mean, I was very pleasantly surprised by what I saw in the demo, and it definitely made me want to see more of this game.
Well, and I just love that some of these games are coming out that are so much fun that aren't AAA titles.
Yeah.
Like Helldivers 2 is incredible. They nail the vibe and the feel of the game, and Pacific Drive is very similar. I mean, there is some stuff that might drive some people crazy. It doesn't bother me at all, but I loved just taking a wrench and like smacking a wheel three times and it just poof, it's a perfect wheel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, some people are really going to hate that. I don't mind at all because the gameplay seems to be so good. It was far more complicated and in-depth than I thought it would be because they tell you like, go get all this material to build something. I don't remember the name. It's been a few days since I played the demo. And you needed to get like gears. But then it told me I had all the mats I needed, but I had no gears. But that's because I had to go to the back of my car and you can turn scrap into gears. But then sometimes you had to craft stuff back at the garage. And so it was very fun in the demo just to learn the systems. I felt like, kind of like you were saying, Josh, it's more to give you the vibe and the idea of the game. I think it's shaping up to be a lot of fun. I know we're going to be picking that one up here in just a few days.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I'm excited for it too. We had a moment where we were really torn between Nightingale and Pacific Drive. And I think the demo of Pacific Drive really sold us on this is the game that we're going to cover. Maybe we'll get to Nightingale down the road sometime. But I mean, the demo was good enough that it really kind of solidified the deal for us.
So, Josh, I saw you played like 6 or 7 demos from the Next Fest. What else stood out to you other than Pacific Drive?
Next Fest for me is like just a kid in a candy store. I mean, I get to try so many different things. You guys were funny because you're like, well, I tried this demo and this one. And I'm like, I listed like 8 that I tried.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, we don't have enough time for me to really get deep into them. I will say there is a roguelike card game called Bellatro that is based on poker. So you are playing poker with a lot of modifiers and stuff. One of our real life friends, Steve, was the one that had introduced me to this at least and was raving about it. I looked at a video and I went, you're crazy. And then I was like, you know what? Let me give it a try. And I will say there is something to it. It sounds goofy, but the fact that it has like Texas Hold'em as its heart of the game really does kind of make it interesting. Stormgate, we've talked about this one. This is for all you Warcraft, Starcraft fans out there. It's made by the devs that initially made those games. It felt very, very similar. I mean, almost so much so that it really felt like I was just playing those games, but with a different skin on some of the characters and stuff. The weird part to me on that is the only mode you could play is a 1v1. Where you're facing off against somebody else. I am admittedly terrible at RTS games. And so while I'm poking around the map and trying to build, you know, a building or something like that, all of a sudden within the first 4 minutes of the game, here come 9 soldiers from the enemy and just absolutely obliterated my base. And I was like, okay, come on now. So I played another round and guess what happened? I'm poking around. I managed to make like a second building and then here comes 10 guys and I'm like, oh, come on.
You're getting Zerg rushed.
Yeah, like just instantly. And I was like, okay, well, this is why I don't play real-time strategy games. But it seemed very good. It was very polished. I think that's going to be a great game when it comes out. Dungeonborn, which is a like a first-person dungeon crawler PvEvP extraction game. I don't know how many genres we can throw at something.
Sure.
That one was quite interesting to me. It felt a little rough around the edges, but it was very neat to go crawling through this like dungeon. Of course, I played a rogue, so I had my 2 daggers, and I could backstab stuff, and I could stealth. But there's other people in the dungeon at the same time. Now, I didn't come across anybody alive, But there was a good variety of monsters, and you're trying to find gear, and then you have to extract through a portal kind of thing. I think it needs some polish, but the idea is sound, and it really harkens to my love of like D&D. So there's definitely some potential there as well. Can I say one thing about that real quick? Yeah, of course.
Can we just stop naming insert thing born here?
Like, yes.
Everything yes. is. How many born?
Dragonborn.
Dragonborn. Starborn.
Starborn. You know, yeah.
Dungeonborn.
Yeah. That one's weird, but I don't know. I guess it just. It's familiar to people, maybe, but I'm with you. It's kind of overdone at this point. So this next game is called Gateborn. No, I'm just kidding. It's called Gatekeeper. this felt 100% like a 2D Risk of Rain. I mean, almost exactly
so
down.
Risk of Rain 1.
Yeah, basically. I mean, almost exactly down to like the character models. The art style is... You would swear it was made by the exact same people. Like, honestly, it was that close. This one was actually a little underwhelming to me because the combat was a little bit slower paced. And it just felt like I was just like, I just wish I was playing Risk of Rain in this case. Like, it seemed polished and it seemed good. So if that's your kind of game, like, it might be well worth checking out. I mean, I didn't hate anything about it by any means, other than that the combat just felt a little slow. But again, for me, it was like, I just would want to play Risk of Rain instead at that point,
or even waiting for Hyper Light Breaker, whatever, Drifter, yeah, whatever that's called.
Hyper Light Breaker. Yep, exactly.
The only game I wanted to bring up that I had tested out that I thought was a lot of fun is Children of the Sun. So I ran across an article that called it a puzzle sniper game, to which I said, say no more. I love puzzle games. I love sniper rifles. Sign me up. I stopped reading the article and I instantly downloaded the demo. Very cool idea. Pretty simplistic game. Basically, you're just someone who is trying to snipe and kill everyone who is in a cult called Children of the Sun. And what happens is they're at these little encampments and you can run around the outside edge and you mark where all the enemies are. And then you have to pick them all off with one bullet. But kind of the thing is, when you shoot someone, it's kind of like a magic bullet. If I shoot it and kill someone, now the bullet stops right there and the game slows down into bullet time. Now I can aim and look around and shoot someone else. I can aim, shoot someone else, but it's one bullet. So as long as you never miss, you try to kill everybody. But then they start throwing all these extra little mechanics at you. Like, well, now you can control the bullet, kind of like the movie Wanted with Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah. Curved bullets.
Yeah, the curved bullets. And then you can, like, blow up cars. So that doesn't count as a miss, you know, because it'll blow up people nearby. And then when you beat it, there's a worldwide leader for the number of points. So like how fast you killed everybody, if you got any multi-kills, stuff like that. I thought it was actually really clever and a lot of fun. I mean, it's going to have to be like a $10-$15 game. But I thought that was really cool to check out.
Interesting.
Something for change of pace.
Yeah, I like the idea of like, yeah, who in the world has ever heard of a sniper puzzle game?
Not me.
Yeah.
That's why I got excited.
Paul's like, say less, baby.
Paul loves these really obscure, like odd games. But I actually did see a trailer for that, and I could have sworn I heard some people talking about it too. So apparently there's something there. Or it's just the creativity of, like, you know, the fact that somebody was able to mesh these two things together and actually make it fun, you know, is a cool thing to experience.
Yeah,
it's a pretty cool idea.
I'll be on and I'm you know, doing some work or something, and it pops up, Paul's playing blah blah blah, and I'm like, what is, I don't even heard of this game. What is he playing?
Oh, that was like before it even got popular. Cult Simulator. I remember Josh and I talking about that, you know, a couple years ago. I'll pick up the weird ones and check them out for sure. All right, and then our last story of the week. We'll do this one relatively quickly. Assassin's Creed Nexus VR. Now, this one came out a few months back, released in November. We did talk about it on one of our This Week in Gaming episodes. We all agreed it seemed like it had a lot of really cool stuff. Now, both of you famously get really bad motion sickness with VR. So the idea of running around as Ezio or the other characters, doing parkour on roofs and jumping hundreds of feet in the air probably was never going to be in the cards for you guys.
No.
I did not pick it up because there's just too many games on our list. I've got a bunch of games waiting for me. This one's just not exactly at the top. Well, the game actually got fairly decent ratings, especially as far as VR goes. It's a 78 on Metacritic. User scores are very high, 8.9 out of 10. But the game did not sell particularly well. Ubisoft even came out and said that the numbers were so disappointing that they are not looking into increasing their investment into VR at this time. So I kind of wanted to ask you guys, like, why do you think this game didn't do well? Because we all agreed that it looked great. Do you think it's just too many people get motion sickness? Is this Assassin's Creed fatigue? Are people just not as hyped about VR these days? Like, what's going on?
It's a combination of, you know, all of it. It's you know, the market's going to dictate what's going to happen. So obviously, as the technology progresses and it becomes a cheaper one and then more readily available and easier to use, easier to set up and for people who are, you know, maybe have a little trouble setting those types of things up. But I think those making that transition to get people to go from what they've done for 20, 30 years as far as sitting on a couch and playing a game to doing the VR, it's just going to take time. So maybe they're just kind of, let's just backpedal, not dump a bunch of money in this, let the technology catch up, maybe the market catches up to this, and then we can really heavily invest into it.
Yeah, I think some of it is definitely related to VR. Even us, you know, I mean, we game all the time. We have all just said, I play my VR for like a week, and then it sits on a shelf for 6 months at a time.
Yep.
VR can feel like work sometimes. Like, I think it's incredible at times, but there's definitely times where it's like, I don't want to stand up and have to play a game and flail around and, like, I just want to sit in my comfy chair at my desk, kicked back and, you know, like just relaxing and playing something. And so I think there's times when VR just doesn't sound like that. I'll be honest, I'm not sure that they did a great job marketing this game either.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
I think honestly, like, we are very, you know, obviously up to date with news and we're digging into gaming news and releases and stuff like that. But I don't think I saw any kind of advertisement for this game at all. And the one that I did was directly tied to like the MetaQuest 3, which, you know, none of us have. So it's kind of like, oh, well, I can't even play this game because I don't have a MetaQuest 3. So I think they didn't really do themselves any favors in marketing this game. And honestly, Paul, I mean, you kind of touched on this earlier before we started recording, is I think there's just some fatigue with Ubisoft games and the Assassin's Creed. I mean,
there's so many.
Assassin's Creed Mirage came out and people really liked it. And we saw articles where they said, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to go back to our roots and we're going to make fun games again. And it's kind of like, well, what the heck have you guys been doing for the last 5 years? You know, because it's obviously not making fun games at this point. So I do think there's a little bit of fatigue there as well. I mean, Ryan, you kind of said it. I think it's a culmination of a lot of different factors. I mean, as a VR game goes, we all thought this game looked really good. So, and it, you know, according to the user reviews, it is pretty good. So it's either that VR is just not super mainstream, or they did a bad job marketing it, or it's a bad game. Well, it doesn't seem like it's a bad game. So at that point, it kind of points to one of the other two.
Yeah.
Or maybe everyone's saving up for their Apple Pro Vision.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about you guys. My TikTok feed is giving me people pulling up to like curbs and getting out of their car, wearing them and walking around. And it looks so stupid. I think it's incredible tech. But the fact that you see people like getting out of their cars wearing them is like, all right, come on now. Don't be wearing these in public. You know, wear it at home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up everything in regards to This Week in Gaming. We want to say thank you to everyone for joining us. If you'd like bonus episodes and other perks, like getting all our episodes ad-free and a day early, go check it out at multiplayersquad.com. You can find us on socials at VideoGamersPod, and please take a second to rate us 5 stars. And if you have an iPhone, you can leave a written review. Thank you so much, and until next time, happy gaming.
Together for liberty!
For democracy! All right, see everybody.